I'm coming with a heart of ocean. I'm bringing in a brand new song. I'm ready to see the unthinkable. I'm ready for a miracle. Heart's praying for a fresh encounter. Who's looking for the living God? I'm ready for a real revival. Oh, Holy Spirit, come like a flood, like a fire. Holy Spirit, fall on this place, fill our heart. Holy Spirit, come like a flood, like a fire. Holy Spirit, come. Oh, Holy Spirit, come.
Technical difficulty there.
Around the victim of all my guilt and shame. Praise the Lord. Good morning. Good to see everybody here today. I'm glad you made a choice to be in worship. It may have cost some of us more than others to be here, and we acknowledge that and appreciate your extra effort. And we know that sometimes Satan throws up every kind of trap and excuse for us, obstacle he can on our in our plan to worship. So congratulations, you made it this far. Welcome to Walnut Grove. You've experienced already the presence of God in this space among his people. We cultivate and desire his presence among us, and we desire your presence among us too. We're glad you're here. And we hope to be able to share experience with you in Christ this morning. We are coming to the Lord's table today. It's a simple table, but it's the biggest thing that we will do today. We have just a few announcements, but I believe they're fairly important announcements. I'll let the people who need to speak to. First, I have to find my bulletin. Oh, well. There's some announcements to make. First of all, today, beginning today and running through Wednesday, we will be having our South Carolina Annual Conference, the United Methodist Church. During that time, we believe on Tuesday afternoon, they will vote probably to close Walnut Grove United Methodist Church, effective June 30th. That has ramifications to it, right? So there's a lot to be done between now and June 30th, which not the least of which are the exchanging of documents and closing deeds and transfers of titles and things like that, opening of new checking accounts, closing of just blah, 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 blah. Insurance. How can you help? Well, simply by letting us know whether you want to continue the journey with us or not. And for those who are not letting us know or not making their choice plain, we are going to be assuming that you want to remain United Methodist, and we will be accomplishing that by submitting your names to back to the conference, and they will have care and shepherding of your future church membership. So that's how that will be handled. But we need to know specifically if you're going to go into the new Walnut Grove Methodist Church. So please, please let us know. I think there's still a few forms up here at the front. All right. So be in prayer. Raise your hand, Alice. Get used to doing that. No. She's our delegate, and she'll need your prayer. It can be pressure filled. And sometimes when people are expressing harsh opinions, it can feel very personal. And it takes a lot to sit there and take it sometimes. But that's what Christ is calling us to do, calling Alice to do, and she's going to do a super job for us. So pray for her. Becky?
Do you know if that will be streamed?
I've been looking. Every year it's live streamed that it hasn't been Zoom, and suddenly there aren't any links. So I don't know. I would assume you can check the website, umcsc.org. daily, to look for a live streaming link. That's usually been the case.
If we find one, I'll put it on Facebook.
Please, it'll go out on Facebook and probably get over to the website as well. All right. That'll be a solemn day. It'll be a sad day. It'll be a day that when we reflect on how we got to where we are, we have to take ownership not only of what others have done, but what we ourselves believe. And we have to stand up and in our place and represent our convictions and what we believe. So as charity and love and forgiveness, we want to move forward. So that being said, the prayer Bible study on Tuesday will be canceled this week. I believe some will be here for Thursday night prayer, which is turning into a time for extended worship. And we're inviting everybody to come and participate in that. And then, Jessica, let's see, the highway road project. John?
We are going to move that date from the 10th to the 17th.
Okay. Of June?
Of June.
Okay.
So we will have an adequate amount of people that help us.
All right. And Jessica, missions, outreach?
Yeah. So if you guys will look on the back of your bulletin, on the very bottom, there's like a dotted line that's meant to be cut. And below that dotted line, there are some questions that our missions team is... So going forward with everything that Chris just talked about with annual conference and the potentially new church that we'll be establishing in June, we will be needing to come up with a new vision for our global missions, which is something that we have not had to do as a local church at LEAP before. So the missions committee has decided to enter into a period of prayer and discernment. And I've chosen these three questions to focus on. And so we are asking the congregation to please enter that season with us. And if you could be in prayer for us and in prayer specifically for these questions, we would appreciate it. And if you have any questions, just let us know. There's a bulletin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I found one, but thank you.
Okay.
I just had to take a minute and dig. Other announcements. All right, that means you, Justin?
Men's club this week?
Will the men's club meet on Tuesday? That will be done by text. To get those balding heads together and see what we come up with. You can see that smoke coming off of. All right. That was a way to throw a lava grenade there. Yeah. Oh, Mac?
Since you called me a
ball, yeah. I meant it in love. I mean, it's...
I'm sure you did. Anyway, I just wanted to thank Becky and Mark for putting the movie night together last night. Although we had a little turnout, it was a very good film. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. Thanks to John for bringing some pizza. We all have a good time. Sorry.
Amen. It was good, and it's a especially important story to know kind of how we got to where we are right now in the last 40 years of church growth and worship. All right. Are we ready? I'm going to ask Justin and Sarah to come. They've been leading us in our call to worship lately. I got that right, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. So let's stand, let's join together, and breathe on me. Breath of God.
I believe in your fatherly love.
hymn of praise, Joyful, Joyful, 89. Please be seated. God has been so good to us, and we've been good to share it and to let others know about God's goodness. So today we want to ask you to do that. A word of testimony encourages and uplifts our faith. So who has a word to share about God's goodness today? Charles?
Kathy and Rehab been there a week and was doing extremely well, I think. I think she'll be there for several more days, though.
Yeah, good. That's a good report. Yeah, well, for both of your sakes, for sure. Other praises this morning. Yeah, Diane?
My grandson-in-law is doing well. He's gained 20 of his 60 pounds back. Ooh,
okay.
So praise the Lord.
Yeah, amen. That's a good report. Arlene?
Our youngest granddaughter, Nicole Graham, from Baffin, graduated from Brooms High School the other night. And I am so proud that she is letting the Lord drive her and show her which way that she is going to be.
Amen.
She loves electricity and wants to be an electrician. So maybe he will guide her in that place.
Amen.
We're just very proud of her.
Great word. And a reminder that we need to celebrate all of our graduates and be praying for them in their way forward. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be shaking my head a lot like this, but I really can't hear much of what you're saying with that thing on. So, somebody, is that Jamie?
It's a prayer request and praise.
Okay.
Harrison's 13 years old.
Bless you, brother. They have installment plans for weapons you can buy too.
Tim Scott. I have 7 weeks in the hospital.
Oh, really? Amen. Sorry, I couldn't hear you, Mac. Praise the Lord.
Tim Scott.
Tim Scott. That's a great word. Especially for most of that time, they didn't know what was wrong. So we're glad to hear that. Others? Kevin?
Some of you know, Marion has been in some very excruciating pain the last couple of weeks. And pain like that will discourage you. It will bring on anxiety, depression, things of that nature. And Marion asked me to tell the story today. He was in bed this week and in so much pain. He was having an anxiety attack and discouraged. And he got out of bed, got on his hands and knees. And angels came against him.
Amen.
Took his anxiety away. And stories like that take a lot of guts. People who have experienced God in that intimate way, it takes a lot of guts to tell someone that story.
Amen.
And we need to be encouraged.
Amen.
That God does minister.
Wow. Anybody want to try it again after that? Or?
Our prayer.
That's a good word, yeah. What about our prayer concerns this morning?
I have two. Emily Cox.
Emily?
She's very sick. And also Margaret White.
Margaret White. Okay. Kathy?
My supervisor, Martha Clayton's mother, had a heart attack. They've had to do surgery on her. She did come from surgery. But she's been having some fallbacks and
doors
and fallbacks and
doors. Okay. Difficult problems. So Margaret.
Martha
Layton's mother.
Yes.
Okay, got it. Lisa?
Alma
Ellidge.
Yes, ma'am.
Others? Terry?
The Shippey and the Patterson family are two of our players.
The Shippey and the Patterson family? Kip?
We need to pray about Mary and my mother, who both were in pain.
Yeah. Jason?
I have a work colleague, Dan Fulton, just asked.
Can somebody relay that?
Dan Fulton.
Dan Fulton? All right. Well, as I said, we are the biggest thing we do today is come to the Lord's table, and we don't just fall into that. We want to be purposeful and mindful of our sinfulness as we come to the table. So I want to invite you to a time of confession. We are those who seek to live as true disciples of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we fall short. Let us now examine ourselves before God, humbly confessing our sins and submitting our hearts so that we do not deceive ourselves and cut ourselves away from God. Let us pray. Father, please forgive us for the poverty of our worship, for the selfishness of our prayers, for our inconsistency and unbelief, for the ways we have deceived others, for the ways we neglect fellowship and your grace, for our hesitation to tell others about Christ. Forgive us for the sins that we silently confess to you now. God, the Father of all mercies, is faithful to cleanse us from our sins and restore us to Christ's image. Praise and glory be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's continue in a time of prayer. Father, we continue to raise our song of praise before you from deep within us. You've connected us by your Spirit to your heart. And God, as your Spirit breath resonates within our being, in our core, we confess to you that it disturbs many things. Not only the sinful brokenness we've experienced, but also the brokenness and trauma of life. Now, God, we open our hearts to you. As we've heard testimony this morning of your ministering angels, that you've instructed them concerning us to guard us in all our ways. That they minister to us now their healing, the healing power of God through the name of Jesus. And to those we've lifted before him, trusting each time, Lord, that your loving care is essential, necessary, and freely given. And anoint this service with your presence, God. Let us gather at the feet of Jesus in spirit and truth, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. This time we'll receive God's tithe and offering.
Your kingdom amongst the body called one of earth. Be with it and may it bless you and minister to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is over. Here, okay.
Oh, God.
Oh,
oh,
we don't have the scripture read.
Sorry. That's my fault. I forget.
You can't break it. It's not magic.
No.
Here she is.
Sorry, Lois.
Our gospel readings this morning are from John chapter 4, 16 to 24, and Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband.'" Excuse me. "For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The first word, the last word, the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Now we will receive the Lord's offering.
Hit it.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated. Time for the children who would like to depart the sanctuary. Go ahead. Oh, boys. Oh. There's going to be days like that, Mama said. At Walnut Grove, we believe we are raising our families together. We want every mother to feel like her child belongs. And so we would rather fuss at you for making them feel uncomfortable than fuss at children or mothers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. The sermon title today is Truth, When Everything Jesus Says is a Threat. Truth, When Everything Jesus Says is a Threat. Last week we looked at the source of true worship. We see the scripture today, and we're going to look harder at that, that true worshipers worship in spirit and truth. And these are the worshipers God seeks.
So we looked at the Spirit of God as the source of true worship last week. This week we're going to look at truth, worshiping in truth. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, how he meets us where we are. We thank you that he accepts us into his presence and loves us. And he loves us too much to leave us filthy, dirty, broken, ashamed, upside down. Thank you for washing us today with truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So we had this encounter that Lois just read for us between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. High noon at the well. And I know it can seem like Jesus had kind of had it in for Samaritan women, because there are other hard things Jesus said and did with Samaritans, like the woman who he said the crumbs from the table, you know, they belong to. And I just messed that all up. But anyway, essentially people believe he was calling her a dog. But Jesus says hard things. And he intends to say hard things to us. There's a popular saying, and you've heard it before. He comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable, right? When we're afflicted, he comforts us. And when we're comfortable, he afflicts us. That's the human condition. It was true for his original audience. It continues to be true for us today. But, you know, on hearing it, we might say, like his original disciples, remember in John 6, they said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept that? This is a hard teaching." But in this day and in this hour, when truth and what is true will become increasingly harder to discern. And that means people in families will be opposed to one another concerning truth. As the plot thickens and the lie and the almost truth begin to take over the center stage, it'll be harder and harder to adhere to or believe in the source of real truth. There have been many times in my life that I wish the Bible didn't say something. And you know, if you've not experienced the call to ministry, I know that you've heard about it before. You've heard it said that it's almost irresistible. God will allow you to resist a call to the ministry. It sure don't seem like it. But having finally succumbed to that call, many like myself, and we find ourselves in a conflict, first of all, with this book, the stuff in it that you have to stand up here and read with a straight face every Sunday morning, until finally you come into conflict internally with the truth it has. And you come to a place where you have to decide, is it truth to me? Because that's where your life is going to hinge. How many times have I heard, you've heard others say to us, "Yeah, I know the Bible says that, but..." And a lot of times, frankly, your butt is in the way. You're going to deny God's truth in one word, "but." I believe that's what he said. I believe it's what the Bible says. I believe it's true, but... Rather than live in the tension it causes in our lives, we would smooth that over with compromise. Jesus did neither. He didn't smooth it over, and he didn't compromise. And here with this woman, first of all, I want you to get the part that's not up there on the screen. He loved her. How do we know he loved her? Because he sat at the well and spoke to her. You don't do that if you're a Jew. You don't speak to Samaritan women out in public, out in the open, anywhere. But in not only speaking to her, but engaging her at the well, he acknowledged her personhood. In other words, he loved her as a fellow human being. And that's where we have to come to truth first, right? If we're going to live by truth and we're going to allow others to feel truth through us, we have one of two choices. We can either use it like a battering ram and just beat, you know, the literal hell out of people with it. Or we can love them into a place of hearing the truth. It's still uncomfortable. It's still unnerving. Can you imagine the Samaritan woman's guts as he said, "Go and call your husband"? And she says, "I have no husband. Hope he changes the subject here." And Jesus said, "You're right in saying you have no husband, for you've had five husbands." Now, no judgment here from any of you. I don't think we have anybody been married five times in the room, but if you have, God bless you. Keep trying. But the internal dynamics of that statement tell you that it's a very uncomfortable feeling for this woman to be found out that she's had five husbands. He deepens the truth by saying the one you have now is not your husband. What you say is truth. "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." Goodness. And then she gets into worship, which is just where Jesus wants it to go. Folks, we can love people and believe that we're allowing them to have their space with their truth. We can love people with, turning a blind eye to the obvious. But you know, if somebody's been married five times, I want to tell you, you can't look at them without knowing something. You know, after a couple times, you got to kind of go 50-50 and look at both sides. But the longer it begins to run into a series, you have to start looking at brokenness. Jesus is always saying things, not from a pulpit necessarily, but from this word, that embarrass us, make us uncomfortable, make us, like Peter sometimes, deniers of the truth. And it's always about the truth about us, isn't it? The truth about me. Allowing Jesus to confront me about the truth about me is the beginning of my learning true worship. To be able to stand in front of Jesus with the Samaritan women or the woman caught in adultery, these others who are exposed to God and man, just exposed for who they've been. It's a very powerful thing. To stand before God exposed and to realize that you're loved and accepted, submit yourself for healing, that is the beginning place of worship. If your butt is not in the way of the truth. Some time ago, and then for a period of time after that, Jessica, won't say her last name, Evans, she offered several times to help me with a sermon illustration. She offered to wear a scarlet letter to church. And if you're too young to know what that is, go look it up. I'm not going to stand here and explain it. It's been a great sermon illustration for this very sermon. I just couldn't call her up and say, "Jessica, I've got to ask you to wear a scarlet letter to church." But really, in worship that matters, the worship that is in spirit and truth. We come to God, a God sitting at the well who already knows we've been married five times. God who looks into our heart, has read our resume, our bio. He already knows it all, folks. To present yourself in the house of God, wearing that resume, requires a willingness to be exposed to truth. What people are counting on in this day and time is that people will ignore the truth. That's where the church has gotten into so much trouble for so long, is ignoring the truth. It just blows my mind how people think because we're choosing to follow a biblical path, an understanding of sin, that we hate sinners. Well, we must have done a horrible job up to this point then of dealing with people in their sin. Because the back thought behind all of it is you must hate those people. Well, let's see. I'm morbidly obese. Anybody in here hate me? Many of you have been married several times. You feeling any hate coming off anybody this morning? Just exactly who it is, where are they? The ones in this room that we're hating as we acknowledge truth about sin. Is it just one class of people now that supposedly we want to kick out, malign, and lie about because of their sin? Or do we want to come into a room that's more like a lens focal point, a place where truth is coming into alignment with our lives, and to be uncomfortable about that? Jesus is always saying uncomfortable things to us. Okay, how important is truth to our worship? If we're going forward and looking at this and saying, what elements are we going to take with us, and what things are we going to leave behind, and worse yet, what things are we going to leave the same? It would have to be that what we've done is sometimes overlook the truth in favor of comfort and in the name of love. The Spirit can't ride that horse. To have Spirit-filled worship, you have to have worship in truth. Worship that is founded in truth, yeah, it has to be the truth about all the other people. But first, it's got to be the truth about me.
Amen.
It has to focus its light on me. I have to stand before you and God with a focal point on me. And understand that grace is forgiving me, not excusing me, and that in life's journey I am being transformed daily, conformed to the image of Christ. And for many of us, it's a process. For some, it's instantaneous. But for everyone, it's a necessity. Worship in spirit and truth. The truth about me. Jeremiah, the prophet, said in 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Our heart is deceitful because of the people we love. Our heart is deceitful because of the ones around us we desire to keep in fellowship with. Our heart is deceitful because we can't accept the truth about ourselves. I'm sorry, but if you're in the end of a long string of broken relationships, probably some of that's you.
Amen.
How long will you point fingers before there are none left pointing back at you? And having the grace to sit and let Jesus address the truth of my life and to understand that that's happening all around the room. You start to be in an atmosphere of truth worship. Worship in truth. Where the lies are around in the room, but they're not the multiplied lies. There's more truth. There's a beachhead of truth. And then we can have the sinner, you know, the sinners that aren't like us come. The ones we hope will come. Because we have a beachhead of truth on any given Sunday. Jesus spoke to the heart, taking it deeper. He said, "For within, from out of the heart of a man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within, and they defile a person." Well, Jesus, you didn't mention beer. Beer don't come from within. Pee does. Sewage does. He addresses truth with God's help, the Holy Spirit's help. He says things like, "Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." And to that we respond, "But..." We tell our children, "Make sure he hits you first, then clobber him." "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic." And we say, "But..." "Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. But..." "And as you wish that others would do to you, so do unto them." Except. Luke 12 and in other Gospels, "Be anxious for nothing. But..." Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I'm starting to think heaven is going to be a pretty sparse place. Just how many people are getting there? How many people are on this journey of truth? And then he says, John 6, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood." "Partake of me. But please, only do it in truth. Don't bring lies to the table. Please, only come to the table in spirit, knowing that you have communion and fellowship with God. But by all means, allow Jesus to say, the hard thing today. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Just join me for the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. And he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. I've asked Kevin and Helen Elizabeth to come and assist with communion. Also, who were the acolytes today? Oh, Riley, why don't you come up here and help me? What we're going to do, we're still, you know, honoring people whose wish is not to share the common cup. We'll have individual cups available for you. So there'll be the common cup and also the small cups. But Riley will be back here behind the altar. And she'll have an empty tray, cup tray. And you can put your empty cup in that tray. And that way it'll be a little bit cleaner for us today as we do that. All right, so I'm going to invite you to have communion real quick, and then we're going to go. Okay. Here again, gentlemen.
She's talking to the alley.
Slip. Pray, Jesus. Jesus.
Joy? Looks like I need your help too.
This has got a lot of moving parts suddenly. I'll keep it. You stand up here. Okay. This is worse than COVID time. And there's a gluten-free option too, if anybody can check that box on the survey. Okay? All right. So let's come with you.
You've received Christ within your being for a purpose, and that is to disseminate His presence in the world. Where you go, His body is. And where you speak and share His name, His blood flows to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Let's respond to that with the final hymn today, My Hope Is Built, 368. Let's stand and sing.
Yeah.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you now and always. Amen.